My daughter stopped over last night in her downstairs apartment. The upstairs apartment guy was cleaning with Pine Sol, and she's asthmatic, and she's just had major surgery. She can't cough. That would be trouble. And so Bo, her husband, who's the teaching pastor at Genesis, the church in Royal Oak, brought her to my house. So I said, hey, so, you know, your husband and your father, come on, we're going at it, you know. She said, what are you talking about? I said, oh, I'm on assignment. My question is, am I too busy to read God's word? To which my daughter said, no. I said, honey, I'm going to have to say, Dad, no one is too busy to read God's word. We all do what we want to do. No one's too busy. I said, honey, I just can't say no. I took a check. I mean, I have to talk about this. I said, Dad, we all do what we want to do. We all do what we want to do. Now, I was going to comment this much more gently. Because I know what this is like. I mean, you live a long time, and you know the struggle. And what is interesting to me is your heartbeat is involuntary, right? Remember this from, I mean, well, you know that from experience, right? I mean, you probably could make it pick up a little bit. You might, if you breathe deeply, even slow it down. But you do not control the beating of your heart. That's an involuntary response. God's just wired that in you, involuntary. It's also involuntary about your breathing. Now, you can sit there. I have watched kids at camp as an issue of rebellion. I'm going to hold my breath. Help yourself. Help yourself. Because you can't hold your breath. And those who do hold their breath fall faint away, and they breathe again. Those are involuntary things, absolutely crucial for our survival. What interests me is that the reading of God's word, the meditation of God's word, getting the whole counsel of God about life and about life after and life before, getting all of that, also as critical as breathing and your heartbeat, that is voluntary. Now, can you think of another voluntary experience that's critical for our survival that we never miss? Eating. Yes, we eat. Now, this metaphor, all metaphors break down, you know, if you continue to push them. But this metaphor of eating is helpful in coming to an understanding of, wow, I'm not too busy, because we all make time to eat. Now, you might skip lunch because you work through it or something, but when you get home, I mean, you'll go at it, right? And then there's other things too, because when people read, it's just sort of like the verse a day. I don't know what some people are in these devotional patterns. They just catch one verse and said they're not connected from day to day. It's just boom, you know, it's there. To me, that's like coming home and I'm starving, and so I just go through a row of double stuffed Oreos while dinner's being made. You just pick. You had days like that where actually your body finally says, "Oh, what I really need is a good home cooked meal, not a restaurant meal, not a microwave meal. No, one that comes." Just where you go to Whole Foods or wherever you go, Trader Joe's, and it gets all, not that I would do that, understand. And then you sense that nourishment of, wow, that was a good meal. When's the last time you had a homemade blueberry pie? I mean, wow, that's good. Now here's the thing. The word of God, God intends that word to bring that kind of pleasure, that kind of nutrition, that kind of nourishment to us. It is amazing to me, amazing. Word of God, speak. If I fire this up now, can you do it? Okay. I was going to do this at the end. Let's just see this. Three minutes.
Finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say. Finding myself in the midst of you, beyond the music, beyond the noise, all that I need is to be with you, and in the quiet, hear your voice, word of God speak. Would you pour like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. Would you pour
Now, what interests me, I'm at a loss for words on this because I know the habits of my own heart. John Piper, who was for 33 years pastor of Bethlehem Baptist Church in Minneapolis, Minnesota, his firstborn son, Abraham, at age 19, at his church, they found themselves in a situation where they had to exercise church discipline towards his son. This is John Piper. The night after that, I called him at 10 and said, Abraham, you knew what was coming. He said, that's what I expected you to do. That has integrity. I respect you for doing it. From then on, for the next 4 years, he walked away from the Lord, trying to make a name for himself in disco bars as a guitarist and singer, and just doing anything but destroying himself. We were praying like crazy that he wouldn't get somebody pregnant or marry the wrong person or whatever. He came back to the Lord 4 years later. The church had a beautiful, beautiful restoration. He wept his eyes out in front of the church. Now, this is Abraham's account. When I was 19, I decided I'd be honest and stop pretending I was a Christian. At first, I pretended that my reasoning was high-minded and philosophical. But really, I just wanted to drink gallons of cheap sangria and sleep around. 4 years of this, and I was strung out, stupefied, and generally pretty low, especially when I was sober or alone. My parents, John and Noelle Piper, who are strong believers and who raised their kids as well as any parents I've ever seen, were brokenhearted and baffled. I'm sure they were wondering why the child they tried to raise right was such a ridiculous screw-up now. But God was in control. One Tuesday morning, before 8 o'clock, I went to the library to check my email. I had a message from a girl I'd met a few weeks before, and her email mentioned a verse in Romans. He said, I sure hope I have the rest of that. I may have to tell it to you. Oh, here we go. I had a message from a girl I'd met a few weeks before, and her email mentioned a verse in Romans. I went to the Circle K and bought a 40-ounce can of Miller High Life for $1.29. Then I went back to where I was staying, rolled a few cigarettes, cracked open my drink, and started reading Romans. I wanted to read the verse from the email, but I couldn't remember what it was. So I started at the beginning of the book of Romans. By the time I got to chapter 10, the beer was gone, the ashtray needed emptying, and I was a Christian. The best way I know to describe what happened to me that morning is that God made it possible for me to love Jesus. When he makes this possible, and at the same time gives you a glimpse of the true wonder of Jesus, it is impossible to resist his call. So I find myself at a loss for words, not knowing what to say. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down on me, washing my eyes to see your majesty? I could be still and know that you're pure and true and holy, and stay there and rest. Word of God, speak. Now, on your outline, well, here, Hebrews 1. Hebrews 1, verse 1 says, I'm reading from the NIV, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. The Son, Jesus, is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. It is stunning that the God of heaven, the living God, speaks. That's your first blank. God speaks. Now, the gods in all other cultures did not speak. Now, what happened was cultures would interpret earthquakes or tornadoes or hurricanes or sickness or animal disease or drought. They would interpret that as a certain God being upset, needing to be pleased, and so they would do whatever, sacrifice stuff, even their children. The living God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, speaks. He reveals. No other gods do that. This God of the Bible, he does that. And he not only does it in various ways. Can you just rattle off some of these? What were the various ways that God spoke? Just kick some out. He spoke by the prophets. Somebody name another way God spoke. Burning bush? Donkey, yes. He used the donkey, yes. True enough. Still small voice. There's a physical, audible voice. God spoke. This is not true of other gods. God spoke in symbols. Can you name me some symbols that God spoke in? the rainbow? Yes? And so he says, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through prophets at many times and in various ways. People were used to this living God speaking. What is the, I think, aside from the crossing of the Red Sea, the greatest answered prayer in the Old Testament? Yes, fire on Mount Carmel. My daughter was named after that mountain because of the experience that Elijah had. And what did those people say? I mean, here is the contest. The God who lives is the God we'll worship. Well, there is only one God who lives. And the God who lives, get this, the God who lives speaks. He reveals. And it says, in these last days, he not only speaks, he comes down. Every other God, you were trying to work your way there and just try to find it. And actually, you sort of kept your distance. You weren't sure. This God, this living God who speaks, this God comes down. That blank, by the way, is God delivers. What is it that God speaks to us? Stephen Furtick, pastor of Elevation Church in Charlotte, North Carolina, tells of a conflict between his two boys. He's got two wild and crazy boys. Stephen Furtick is wild and crazy, so serves him right. He's got two wild and crazy boys. The younger boy says to the older boy, in a moment of frustration, because his older brother can do something he can't do, he says, I'm a genius. I'm a genius. Well, that ticks his older brother off. He says, you're not a genius. You're stupid. No. I'm a genius. And he's just, I'm a genius. Well, Stephen, the dad, he hears this and he pulls his son aside. He says, listen, who told you you were a genius? The little kid said, you did. Well, look, you can't go around telling people you're a genius. I mean, you're going to get your face knocked in. So stop doing that. He goes into his study. A whole day goes by, and he has this breakthrough. I didn't say that to my son, right? Calls his son back in, and he said, here's what you can say. You can say, my dad says I'm a genius. Changes the whole deal. Now look, when the enemy comes to me about who I am and what I've done, what I failed to do, the screw-up that I am, I say back to him, not I'm a genius. My father says, I belong to him. He even so much as calls me a brother of the Lord Jesus. You mess with me, you mess with Jesus. You cannot, whatever this path is I'm on. And Judy, when and said to me this morning, just your acceptance of what's ahead for you, how do you come to that? You come to that because the Word of God spoke to you that your passageway to heaven, that rescue, is safe and secure. How do we know? Because God raised Jesus from the dead to declare to all who believe, you come, I am the resurrection and the life. You come to me, though you die, yet you shall live. And so that comes to the fear, the anger. Yes, that's all there. But my Father says, and it is such word of God speak, to catch that this living God speaks to us and reveals and says what the ultimate realities are. Alexander Solzhenitsyn said, there are as many centers of the universe as there are people. True enough. But what is the reality? If God doesn't speak it to us, you're the center of your universe, you're the center of yours, you're the center of yours, Dave, you're the center of yours, I'm the center of mine. I like talking about me. Okay, enough about me. What do you think about me? I said, that we are all the centers of our universe. But what is the reality? The reality is that over everything is God, not you. There's a guy that wrote a book called Nine World-Tilting Truths. The first truth is, over everything, God. And you will not come to that on your own. That has to be spoken to you. That has to be revealed to you. The way I say this to myself, by the way, if you're thinking, gosh, I wonder if he's hearing voices. I hear my own voice. But what I say to myself is, as I go to the scriptures, the verse of God is the voice of God to me. The voice of God is the verse of God. And so I am coming, Lord Jesus, would you, in this time that I have, would you speak to me again? Would you open my eyes to see? Would you open my ears to hear? Would you again stoop down and speak to me? Now, if that doesn't happen, this is what happens. Now turn to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews 3, verse 7. So as the Holy Spirit says, he continues to say, so as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the desert, when your fathers tested and tried me and for 40 years saw what I did. So I was angry with that generation, and I said, their hearts are always going astray. They have not known my ways, so I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. That's our plight. Our plight is we have a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. Now look at verse 13. But encourage one another daily as long as it's called today. Is today today? Yeah. Today's today. I am encouraging you, brothers and sisters in Jesus, I'm encouraging you that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. And we need, it is not a spring house cleaning. It's not a winter hibernation cleaning. It is a daily cleaning. That's the crucial need for the Word of God. Because if we don't have that, what happens? Our heart just gets a little hard, just a little. And then it works out into a week's worth of hardness, and then a month's worth of hardness. And then there's just such distance, you wonder if you can even get back. There's a growing cynicism. Oh, yeah, right, I bet, yeah. If we really knew him, if we really saw, yeah. There's cynicism about the cross. We have to do this, God. How many times do we have to do this? How many times do we have to hear that Jesus died for us? That is the deceitfulness of sin. It's the natural bent of every single heart is towards unbelief, which is why the living God delivers. What is it the living God delivers? He delivers ancient paths, age-old wisdom. He delivers brand new mercies. He delivers us from the power of death. He delivers on his promises. I wrote down, no word of God's is ever broken. He's delivered us his Holy Spirit, who indwells us and who presses home and impresses, this is the truth you need today. This is from God. He delivers grace. For the grace of God which brings salvation, has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live upright and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who redeemed us from all wickedness. Why? So that he could have a people of his very own who are eager to do what is good. That's us. This is God's ongoing work in Jesus through the Spirit to help us live upright, self-controlled lives. And we need the power of God, the grace of God, to do that. I wish I could muscle it up. I wish 10 push-ups a day, you know, and I get these big fat muscles, and one day I could skip. I haven't done push-ups in I don't know how long, but that is not how the Word of God is. That there is a needful engagement. Now, this is not to say, what about people who are illiterate? What about people who don't have the Word of God? God has a way of speaking. Here's the thing. We have this. This is what we've got. And now look at Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God. By the way, this could be talking about Jesus too, this living Word. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. I've got written in my Bible, the Word of God is all edge. You just slice, slice, slice. We are laid bare before the one to whom we must give account. Why is that so strong? Because God knows our hearts. He knows our minds. He knows unbelief is like dust. It is always present. Always. And so we have to, so you need that exposure again. You know, when I look at that, I just go, oh, why even try? Just like, now here's the deal. Look at verse 14. Therefore, since everything is laid bare before the one to whom we must give account, oh boy, we're in trouble. No. Therefore, we have a great high priest, this Jesus, who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. How do we know that our destiny is heaven? Because there is a man representing men and women who is, in fact, in heaven. He made it as a man. He made it as a human. That's how we know, because Jesus is in heaven. He went through the heavens. He sat down. Well, how was it this year? Going through the heavens, Jesus, Son of God. Let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. We don't have a high priest. Jesus, he's not unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. He walked this way. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So sometimes I go crawling back. Sometimes I go back a little more confidently. But I go back, and like Peter, I say, where else am I going to go? I mean, it's like I'm really hungry. What shall I do? I know. I'll sit down and watch Food Network. What? But that's what people do with the Word of God. There's a crustiness that comes. I got to move on. So that's the wow. I'm just, Word of God speak. Would you pour down to see the majesty, the tremendous gift this is, that our living God speaks, he reveals. And he delivers. He gives. Now the how. Here's our part. We listen. That's your blank. We listen. What does the Father say of me? Abraham Piper's wife is Molly Piper. She has a blog. If I were a woman, I would follow it all the time. MollyPiper.com. This is Molly writing, I've birthed 5 children in 7 years. 5 children, 7 years. That's some tough math. You're right that it's been amazing, overwhelming, hard, blessed, and we buried one of those 5 children. She's now with Jesus, flying straight to him from my womb at 39 weeks, 4 days of gestation. You're right. That was awful, consuming, depressing. Then the twins came in 2010. Another mother of twins that I know calls it life in a submarine. Now, there was a lady who said, yes, she's saying, oh, she's downstairs. Yeah, I was hearing about twins again. You know, I'm a twin. What we did to our mother. She's so right, I can hardly stand it. We have completely submerged. Life is a series of survivals. I feel desperate and overwhelmed most of the time. I barely get time to use the bathroom, and I never get a chance to actually sit for a breakfast or lunch. Life is a series of sacrifices. Now, any mom knows, I love that Groucho Marx line. If evolution were true, surely by now, every mother would have more than 2 hands. Every mother gets that. Life is a series. Through all this busyness, now here's her statement. Through all this busyness, Bible reading has become one of my sacrifices. It's funny how I've convinced myself that the main thing I need for survival of my soul is not a daily necessity. You get that? I get that. And I don't have 5 kids. Over time, it becomes an every other day thing and then a weekly thing. Any of you with me on the monthly schedule? One of my mentors, in her 60s, she raised 4 children. She buried one of them a month before my daughter died. She and I have been on many mission trips to the dark places of my soul after our tragedies. I'm so deeply thankful for her wisdom, her insight, her character. I'm also so thankful for her knowledge of the Word of God. She studied the Bible for years and diligently. Bible was always a priority for her. So I asked her, how did you read your Bible when you had 4 kids at home? Well, she told me my father always said, she's got this in bold. My father always said, the hardest thing to do is open your Bible. That's the hardest thing to do. Now, raise 5 kids. The hardest thing to do is open your Bible. Her suggestion to me was to have a Bible open on the counter. So if I have 2 minutes or 10 minutes, I use it to read it right there at my kitchen counter, asking the Lord in those few minutes to reveal what he has for me in that short amount of time. Is God up for it? Can God pull it off? I only have 2 minutes. What do you think? And so on. So we listen. And then the last one there is then we enter. We enter. Now, those of you who know Hebrews well know that you talk about entering rest. My boss last night, I was at school putting this outline together, and he texted me, hey, on your message tomorrow, I'm praying for peace and rest. And that struck me. That struck me. More than 20 years ago, I was faced with the largest challenge I've had in my job life. And I was in over my head, and I knew it. I was tumbling. I felt like I was in free fall. And I said to Ann and to my girls, I need to go away. I have to go away. Now, who can go away? I didn't know anywhere to go. I thought somebody would have a fancy cabin off in the North Woods that would invite me and would have a big screen TV. Who had big screen TVs then? But anyway, I wound up at 9 Mile in Woodward with a light from some car dealership shining in the window. Because Jack Wiley had, his mother had a house and she was elsewhere, and so he gave me keys. It was cold. It smelled. Power was off. I was lighting candles at a flashlight. And for 12 hours. I read the Word of God. 12 hours. It was over 20 years ago. At the end of it, what I had was a headache. I hadn't eaten. I hadn't heard from God. And I thought, it was time to go home. So I went home. I'd forgotten my keys. So I'm like that person, and I'm knocking on the door, you know. And my daughters come to the door so eagerly. Dad, what did God say? Tell your mother to get me a baked potato as fast as she can. Mom, God's told Dad to get a baked potato as fast as you can. And she comes out, and I said, leave me alone. I just need to lay down on the couch. And I lay down on the couch, and I propped the Bible back up again and reread Psalm 18. And then my eyes fell on verse 29b. Psalm 18, 29b. I felt so walled in to the inadequacies and limitations of who I was, what I brought to the table, what my talents and gifts might be, I couldn't see a way out. And my art teacher, by the way, this is all faded now. It's not faded in here, though. I have this up in my office still. And it says, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. And when I had that, I entered in. I went, God, thank you. Thank you. How am I going to do this? I am going to do this with the strength that you give. And I was looking 10 years ahead. I was saying, right now, you can leap this wall. I've been leaping that wall every day since. By my God, have I leapt over. By God, Judy, you will leap this wall. And God's on the other side. Right? That's however it lands. You're laying on your 2 feet? Great. God's on the other side. By my God, I've leapt over a wall. So we enter in. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down on us, washing our eyes to see your majesty. May you see, by the grace of the Lord Jesus, the gift that our living God speaks, that he delivers. And his invitation to us is, would we listen? Would we hear? Would we read? And then would we enter in? Would we do what he says? Let's pray together. Father, we bless you for a living word, for a word that sorts out ourselves. We don't understand ourselves. You, God, made us. You understand us. You created us. And would you give grace in these moments now to renew a hearing of your voice, to renew an appreciation for what it is you deliver, to renew our listening, our hearing, our reading, to renew, we will enter in. We will not be like those people for 40 years who just rebelled and got harder and harder and harder. God, save us from ourselves. We pray all that in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.